Welcome back to another episode of What's Up, Prof. Hello, Walter.
Hi there.
Are you doing well?
Well, with all the excitement happening in the world, I guess we are still fortunate to be doing okay.
I agree with you. There's nowhere else that your help can come from.
No.
It's not going to come from the mountaintops.
No.
It's embedded in the Word and our Lord Jesus. Let's open with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we're living in very serious times. We need you more than ever. And we ask that you also bless this discussion now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, Martin, we've titled this one, The Road to Anarchy. And some of it might seem a little bit speculative. Mm-hmm. But the proof of the pudding is always in the eating, right?
Correct.
And some things might seem a little controversial. But then we are living in a great controversy.
Correct.
So let's see where we go.
Yes. There's some interesting things happening in the world. And let's talk about it.
Now, Martin, at the beginning of all of this excitement that happened in the world, there was supposedly a document, a Canadian document, that was apparently leaked. How authentic that document is, no one can say, right? But it was apparently leaked from the PMO, the Prime Minister's office. And not much has been said about it. But it seems as if many of the things that are stated therein came to fruition. And so people are constantly referring to this document and sending us updates as to where we are in the stream of time. And so I thought, you know, let's look at it again.
Yeah, let's have a look.
Why not, right? Mm. And we're taking it with a pinch of salt, but we're looking at the results. So there's no authentication for this document. And this was called the roadmap, and aim was set out by the Prime Minister's office and is as follows. Phase in secondary lockdown restrictions on a rolling basis, starting with major metropolitan areas first and expanding outward, expected by November 2020. And that is more or less how this whole scenario started.
Yeah.
And then they moved from phase to phase, and they would say that, for example, daily new cases of COVID-19 will surge beyond the capacity of testing, and the expected date is by November 2020. And then complete and total secondary lockdown, January 2021. A reform and expansion of the unemployment program to be transitioned into the universal basic income program. Now, there's been a lot of talk about that in the media. And so some of these plans are definitely on the table, right?
Correct.
And then projected COVID-19 mutation and co-infection with secondary virus referred to as COVID-21. Leading to a third wave with much higher mortality rate and higher rate of infection expected by February 2021. And it's interesting that more or less in that time they started to talk about all of these things.
And variants. So maybe not a referral to a COVID-21. But
they are talking about a COVID-21 already.
Okay.
But they are talking about, you know, the variants that they are, and Delta variants and Lambda variants and all of these interesting things. And then there will be increases in hospitalizations and related deaths to variants. Well, they've given them names here. And then it says enhanced lockdown restrictions referred to as the third lockdown or the third wave. Mm. Will be implemented. Full travel restrictions will be imposed, including inter-province and inter-city, expected by the second quarter of 2021. Now, Martin, it's just interesting that these things are coming to pass.
Yes.
This looks like a roadmap, like a script. And then projected supply chain breakdowns, inventory shortages, large economic instability. And the expected date is second quarter 2021. And then eventually deployment of military personnel into major metropolitan areas as well as all major roadways to establish travel checkpoints. And that is to be expected in the third quarter. So we're not quite there yet, but there must be some talk, if this is a roadmap, of these things happening in the world. So this document is now almost a year old. And everybody said, you know, this will just be a ripple on the horizon and it'll pass and we'll go back to normal. Mm-hmm. But then we heard there will be a new normal,
correct,
which will definitely not be like the old normal.
Mm-hmm.
So how much of this is actually taking place? And is there a plan that has nothing to do with a pandemic?
Yes, and what's interesting or important is, remember, nothing is as it seems.
Nothing is as it seems.
So a lot of these things that you see will be happening, but the reason for it happening, they will be obscuring and giving it other reasons.
Giving it other reasons. Now, nobody is denying a pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody is denying that there is a disease going around in the world that is causing havoc. But all of these secondary things are fascinating. Now, let's just go to the Bible. I always think, you know, that's a good source to start off with. And perhaps we should read things just a little bit differently to what we've been accustomed to. You know, many times in scripture and prophecy, things are understood when they happen.
Yes.
Because the Bible itself says, see, I tell you ahead of time, so that when it does happen, you will believe.
You will believe. Amen. That's right? Exactly what I wanted to say.
So let us just look at some of these things with a different thinking cap on and see if we can glean something that we might have missed before. If you go to Matthew chapter 24, verse 22, it says, and except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Now, Martin, this prophecy in Matthew 24, and we've discussed it in detail before many times, is a double application prophecy for the destruction of Jerusalem, yes, which serves as a type for the destruction of the world, right? Except those days be shortened, there shall no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Now, some alternative readings, for example, the NIV, I'm not very keen on reading them, but for the sake of completeness, let's look how they translate it. If those days had not been cut short, no one would survive. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. So the word saved here is rendered survive. Let us just look at that word, which is translated saved or survived. Well, here's Thayer's definition: to save, to keep safe and sound, to rescue from danger or destruction, from injury or peril, and then to save a suffering one from perishing, i.e. one suffering from disease, to make well, to heal, to restore to health. All of those components are built into this word. Mm-hmm. I find this very interesting.
Yes.
So, does that imply that if these days were not cut short, that no one would be saved, survive, in terms not only of salvation, but also in terms of suffering and disease and
being restored back to health.
Being restored back to health.
Yeah, it seems so, like it.
You know, because if you take the word saved, if the days were not cut short, then no one would be saved.
Mm-hmm.
That would mean that everybody would lose their faith, yes. Right? Which is probably not what it means, right?
Because those that should go through to heaven, they can't lose their faith.
No, they mustn't lose their faith. So this is very interesting to me, that this meaning could also mean that no flesh would survive because they wouldn't recover from disease.
Mm.
Because, Martin, we are also told in the spirit of prophecy that Satan imparts to the air a deadly taint.
Yeah.
In other words, a disease.
Yes.
So another portion over here, this 1b, 1b, is to save from the evils which obstruct the reception of the messianic deliverance. This is very interesting.
Yeah, very.
Very interesting. So is there an implied suggestion here that one of the signs of the end will be a disease that will eventually destroy all of humanity if God were not to intervene and come?
It will definitely have to do with health.
It will have to do with health. Is that a possibility?
I think so.
Now, let's just go to Isaiah chapter 51, verse 6. And I remember I was looking for this verse, and I remembered that it said that the inhabitants will die like flies. Mm. But then, of course, I realized that early on in my Christian experience, I read the abridged version of the Bible, which is the NIV, and later switched to the whole thing. So it doesn't say it exactly like that in the King James, but just let's read the King James. Isaiah 51 verse 6. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look upon the earth beneath, for the heavens shall vanish away like smoke, and the earth shall wax old like a garment, and they that dwell therein shall die in like manner. But my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished. Now the NIV has this section, die in like manner, translated as, the earth will wear out like a garment, and its inhabitants die like flies. Now, remember that one we did about Deagle?
Yes.
And then that sort of disappeared from the scene, right?
Exactly.
It's so interesting. So let's just see where all of this could be heading. If we continue with Isaiah 51, verses 7 and 8, hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law. Fear ye not the reproach of men, neither be ye afraid of their revilings. For the moth shall eat them up like a garment, and the worm shall eat them like wool, but my righteousness shall be forever, and my salvation from generation to generation. So, if we put all of this together, could we say that one of the factors in the last days will have to do with disease?
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
And that people will die like flies. It doesn't say flies in the original, but the implication is more or less like that. So it is a way of describing what the Bible says, and that there will be revilings. People will be reviling those that stick to the commandments of God and hold to the testimony. Now, we know that. Now, let us go to our modern times and see where we are heading.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this comes from a Spanish source, and the date is July the 6th, 2021. Spain drafts legal reform allowing state to mobilize all adults in times of crisis. This is very interesting. The changes to the national security law, which incorporates lessons from the coronavirus pandemic, would also let the government requisition private assets and suspend activity. So it seems as if your property rights will be negated, right?
I think, yeah, most of your rights.
Most of your rights, in fact. So the draft legislation, which incorporates lessons learned during the coronavirus pandemic, indicates that all citizens, without exception, must follow the orders and instructions of the relevant authorities if a state of crisis or a situation of interest to national security, as it is termed in the document, is declared. All. Now, Martin, that rings a bell in the Bible. All, rich and poor. Remember that?
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody will be compelled to listen to the government's laws.
Yes.
And those laws will be closely associated with the requirements of the church as well.
Correct. And
church and state coming together.
Yes. It's also like the other portion, the Plain of Durham. The Plain of Durham, where all had to bow down.
Everybody had to bow down. And music played such a prominent role.
Exactly.
Now, we've discussed music already in the previous one, so we won't do that.
No.
It's amazing how the stars are all taking part in these musical festivals to push a certain agenda.
Mm-hmm. And that was also church and state, because it was worship of the image.
Correct.
And it was put into force by the state.
Correct. Now, the Bible makes it quite clear that if you obey someone, then that is the one whose authority you acknowledge, right? So the state has all of these powers to force everyone to do its will. And when church and state ask for these things out of the same mouth, that is the image of the beast.
Correct.
The reform also states that authorities can temporarily requisition all types of assets, take over or temporarily occupy those that are needed, and suspend all activity. Well, we've seen suspension of activities in the lockdowns, right?
They decided what was essential and what was not essential. And
correct.
That was not essential. You couldn't, it was suspended. You couldn't,
purchase it. You couldn't purchase it. Right. So citizens who are economically harmed by these actions have the right to compensation according to the document. I wonder whether that will be a permanent feature. Then the wording of the draft bill does not specifically mention Spanish citizens, but rather everyone who has reached the age of majority. That's interesting.
Yes, so even if you're in the country and you're not a citizen,
it applies to you. It applies to you. Well, anyway, this is the kind of legislation that is being enacted in the world, which seems to be part of the new normal.
Correct.
Now, with that in mind, let's have a look at what's happening in the world. West Virginia governor, those who choose not to get vaccinated are part of the problem. So, with this, we are identifying a group. A group that does not want to play along with the requirements.
Yes.
Now, in this case, it is about the vaccination. Mm-hmm. If something else arises, then it will be about that issue.
If the vaccinations form part of a national security, like we've read now in the Spain situation, and you don't adhere to that, then like we've read there, they can force.
They can force you. So it is very apparent that there is a vilification of groups that do not comply for whichever reason. In this case, vaccination, but it might be something else, like adhering, let's say, to Sunday legislation in the future.
Climate lockdowns or whatever.
So during a televised press conference, Justice, a Republican, told West Virginians who are choosing not to get vaccinated that they are part of the problem, adding that their actions could cause more people in the state to die of the virus. Now, this argument we are hearing more and more in the world. We are hearing that those who are not vaccinated are a breeding ground for variants, and they should be targeted as the problem. Now, Martin, we have said from the beginning that this whole clash, as described in the Bible, this end time clash of minds,
yes,
will have a religious component, but it will also have a health component.
Correct.
Because the health message is closely associated, as closely as the right arm,
yes,
to the third angel's message. So the antithesis of that, the mark of the beast, must also be closely associated with its right arm, its health message.
Yes.
So we have a package of two things which are clashing against,
correct,
one another. And we are not now going to take sides again, except in the sense that we are saying you have the right to make an informed choice. But here, this right seems to be under stress,
mm-hmm,
right? If you're not vaccinated, you're part of the problem rather than part of the solution. You know that's all there is to it, Justice said. If we had you vaccinated, less people would die. That's all there is to it. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, grammatically, it should be fewer people, but let's not criticize the grammar. Here's another article from Breitbart, 8th July 2021. CDC director shames unvaccinated Americans. So this is a very, very current thing. And we have many medical doctors climbing onto this bandwagon as well and claiming that the unvaccinated are a problem for society. With what empirical evidence, I would like to ask.
Yeah, and some people get quite vociferous.
Absolutely.
Telling you to, well, just shut up and take it.
Yes, they are very opinionated on the subject. But in every situation, it is necessary that we look at both sides of the story. So you have to do your part. Get vaccinated. So this is basically what the world is telling, or what the powers that be are telling the people to do.
Yes, it's steadily moving to a very mandatory or forced thing. It's almost as if they're not requesting it anymore.
No, it's a command.
It's commanding you now.
Correct. How far will it go? Biden said, government agents will go door to door to get remaining Americans vaccinated. Now, there are many in the media that are saying that this is unprecedented. Why are you doing this? He says, because millions of Americans are still unvaccinated and unprotected. Biden claimed that the communities are at risk. Are they concerned about the unvaccinated, or are they concerned about the vaccinated?
Well, they're saying they're concerned about the vaccinated.
Now, Martin, if science is so all-powerful, then shouldn't the vaccinated, logically speaking, have faith in the science that they propose and have faith that the vaccines will protect them from any disease? But no, they are afraid of the unvaccinated. That's like people who eat are afraid of people who don't eat. It doesn't really make much sense.
Thinking about it logically, I still can't understand that if you're vaccinated, what threat does an unvaccinated person have towards
Except
you?
In the sense that they are saying that the unvaccinated are a breeding ground for variants. But if they were a breeding ground for variants, they would be very sick.
Aren't they the ones in danger then to die or get it sick? Or
exactly, and that is their risk that they have decided to take. Doesn't mean that they don't get sick.
No.
But if they have a natural immunity, why should they not be satisfied with their natural immunity? How far will this go? This is the Deutsche Wirtschaftsnachrichten, the Philippines. President Duterte threatens vaccine refusers with prison. So the president of the Southeast Asian island state had previously stated in a speech on Monday, there is a national emergency. If you don't want to be vaccinated, I will have you arrested.
National emergency. Didn't we read that in Spain's document?
It's in Spain's document, so the laws apply. Here's another interesting one. This one comes from the 14th of July. This is Fox News. And it says COVID-19 infects about 100 vaccinated crew members on HMS Queen Elizabeth. Now, Martin, all of these soldiers had been vaccinated. So there were no unvaccinated people on board in order to be able to catch this problem. But 100 of them became infected with a variant. So the idea is you don't really have a protection against the variant. And if the variant should change into another variant, like a Lambda variant, for example, then you would have to get a booster shot.
Yes. They've got trials in the UK running now for monthly shots.
Monthly shots. Mm-hmm. So this will become a way of life. Shots will become a new normal. Mm-hmm. Now, in the past, we used to rely on our God-given immune systems to cope with diseases. Now, I've never been anti-scientist. I'm a scientist myself. But any science that discusses or studies any issue has to look at both sides of the story. And we have talked about some of the alternative views out there in the world, and some of them are pretty legitimate. For example, Martin, in the United States, thousands have died from the vaccine. Mm-hmm. At least 4,000 are the figures that are being mentioned of those that have been reported. And in Europe, between 10 and 15,000. And some say that these figures could be 10 times higher because there is a terrific underreporting, because it's not always associated with what is happening, right? Mm. Some are saying that there is a serious risk, not only in terms of a possible death, but in terms of side effects.
Yes.
And we've seen many of them. Mm-hmm. We've seen the blood clotting problems that have been associated with the vaccination. We have seen the heart muscle deterioration because of inflammation of the heart muscle, especially in young men. And we've seen many nervous reactions and blood vascular reactions from the vaccination. And now we're not talking tens, but hundreds of thousands of reactions, official figures. And some people are saying that the various cells that are involved in this are not the cells in the arm only, but that the vaccine has been spread through the entire body, that much of the components concentrate in the ovaries, for example, and could lead to sterility. This is the other side of the story. And that the latest, what the scientists are saying, is that the vaccine, the RNA component, penetrates the cells lining the blood vessels. And that these cells then produce the spike protein. And if there were a second shot or a third shot, then what could happen is that those cells lining the blood vessels could become an autoimmune target. Mm. And that could be catastrophic. This is what some of the scientists are warning about. Now, there will be those that say this is not happening. But shouldn't it be your right, Martin, to look at all of these parameters and then make a decision whether you would rather sit with the risk of the actual disease, where the probability of it going terribly wrong is 1%, or whether you would rather go with the vaccine and then risk all of these other parameters? So if you have, for example, problems with blood clotting, thrombosis, or you have a heart problem, an arrhythmia problem, or you have other issues, would you not be happy to be able to make that choice?
Yeah, so that you can choose. If you are endangering yourself by taking it because of the risks, it must be your choice not to have to take it.
Correct. So what we are saying, as we have been saying all along, the choice should lie with the individual. So, Martin, does the My Body, My Choice movement apply only to fetuses, or does it apply to your general health concerns as well?
Yeah.
So those that become so vociferous obviously don't have much faith in their vaccines. So, Martin, the scientific world and the governments are pushing one agenda. And there are differences of opinions in the government and in the medical world. There are medical scientists who are warning against the vaccine and saying that this should not be rushed through in the way that it is. And there are governors and politicians that are siding with that issue. And then there's the other side that wants no compromise, but their way or the highway, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, when it becomes interesting is when the churches climb onto the same bandwagon and the church becomes an arm of the state to enforce an opinion. Because surely those theologians aren't scientists themselves. They are just listening to what they are being fed, correct?
Correct.
So here's an article from Reuters from the 5th of July, 2021. Vaccinate or repent, Russian church says amid hundreds of daily COVID-19 deaths. So they're saying you must vaccinate. And the other churches, as we have seen, have opened their doors to help vaccinate people.
Yes.
And some of the churches are involved in the program of vaccinating people.
Mm.
So they are following the lead of the one issue that the state pushes for. It's interesting to me, Martin, that they say that those people who are not vaccinating are actually sinners. Well, let's make that a little bit stronger. Here's another article from the 13th of July, 2021. And it's the Russian Orthodox leader. He says, refusing the vaccine is a sin. Now, Martin, since when is it a sin to refuse a vaccine? Have you read that anywhere in the Bible?
No. But I know where how they get to this. They want to link it onto the common good because you're then a danger, according to them, to somebody else.
But there's no proof of that whatsoever. It's a pure conjecture.
But it's going to be exactly the same when the other rules come in with climate lockdowns and with eventually the Sunday.
So this is where we're heading.
Exactly. Nothing's going to make sense.
We are not actually debating vaccines or non-vaccines. We are debating a principle.
Correct.
A principle of coercion where the church and the state combine to enforce your conscience, calling anything that is contrary to their will a sin.
Correct. Because people think that it will be an obvious choice. Remember, they cloud it and always make it seem that it will be for the common good. So it will seem like this is the correct thing to do.
Correct. Now, Martin, let's just philosophize a little bit on this issue. The right arm of the third angel's message is the health message.
Yes.
The right arm of the mark of the beast is the health message.
Yes.
This health message that is associated with the third angel's message, is it a message that goes out right at the end, or is it a message that has gone out for a long time already?
A long time.
Actually, a long time.
Yes.
Let me ask you the question, Martin. This message has gone out for a long time, as we have established, right?
Mm-hmm.
from its inception, was the right arm of the third angel's message, the health message, in other words, was it pro-drug or anti-drug?
Anti-drug.
It was anti-drug. Mm-hmm. In fact, it went so far as to say drugs never cure.
Correct.
There's only one way to be cured.
Mm-hmm.
And that is that God has built in the mechanism where you have to, where your body cures itself given the right circumstances. Yes. Let's also make it plain, it's never been totally anti the medical world.
No.
But it's been anti-drug.
Correct.
Correct? Right. Now, the right arm of the other message, which is the medical fraternity, it used to be that physicians looked for cause and then treated.
Mm-hmm.
These days, there has been a change in the medical world. And the medical fraternity has been so linked with the pharmaceutical industry that to a very large degree, some doctors have become the right arm of the pharmaceutical industry rather than researchers into the cause of a disease.
Yes.
Would you agree with that?
I agree 100%.
So if there is this clash of opinions as to whether you want a drug world or a drug-free world, is it possible that those two ideologies can also clash at the end of time?
Yes.
Now, if I do not want to take a drug into my body that also contains other components like aluminium or mercury or whatever substances that enhance the activity of whatever it is they put into you. And when it comes to the possible ramifications of interfering with my genetic operation, then I should have the right to decide whether I want to have that in my body or not, right?
Yes.
Okay. So church and state are here saying that you have to comply or else you are sinning.
Sin.
This is a new definition of sin.
Correct. This is transgressing our law.
That's correct. It's a new definition. It's not transgressing God's law. Now here's another very interesting picture. Infant, that's inoculation, vaccination, is loving your neighbor. And this comes from the church in Europe, and it is associated with the LGBT movement. And here they have the colors of that rainbow. Now, this is so fascinating to me. So that you can pull in an issue mm-hmm. which is totally unrelated of the gay movement in the world and combine this with this ideology. This package is becoming quite explosive, don't
Correct.
You think?
Every single aspect of life is being pulled into this because it's become a moral issue.
It becomes a moral issue. Now, I read an article, Martin, and I found this article fascinating. This article stated that when Peter was called to Cornelius, this is now an article that comes out of these evangelical circles, right? That when Peter came to Cornelius, they were surprised that the heathen received the gift of tongues. Just as we did, said Peter. And therefore it was obvious that God had accepted the heathen nations as part of his church, right?
Yes.
Now it's interesting that this article argues that because they are members of the LGBT movement that also speak in tongues, it is evident that God has now rescinded his laws in the Old Testament and said that this is perfectly acceptable. This is interesting.
It makes sense.
Correct.
Because like we've seen in that video of Kenneth Copeland, that's how the Catholics and all religions can join together because of this gift.
So the ideologies that are combined here are more than just a simple choice.
Yes.
It is a package.
Correct.
And they're adding portions to this package and telling you to open your mouth wide and swallow the ideology.
Yes. Because in the future, climate change is going to be brought into moral. You're going to also be doing your neighbor a dishonor by not adhering to the rules.
Correct.
And eventually, when it comes down to Sunday legislation, you're also going to be ostracized for not being loving towards your neighbor because you're not keeping these laws.
Correct. Now, just something interesting. If we look at the colors of the LGBT movement rainbow, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 colors. Now, that's an interesting number because God's rainbow has 7 colors,
yes.
Right? There's one missing.
Mm-hmm.
And the one that's missing is indigo. Now, indigo is royal blue.
Mm.
Royal blue. And that's probably the one that is referred to about 40 times in the King James Version. That is strangely missing. And blue is, of course, it is there, but it's not the royal blue.
Mm.
And blue is the color of obedience, but the royal obedience applies to God's law.
Yes.
Here's another law. This is a totally new religion that is being sold to the world, and it is being associated with a right arm of their gospel.
Yes.
Two gospels. Here's another article, Martin, from the Deutsche Wirtschaftsnachrichten. And it says, worldwide internet failures in social networks and media. Many websites worldwide were not available for about an hour on Tuesday due to the malfunction of a web service provider. Amongst other things, the British government's website, the Reddit platform, and the news portals of The Guardian, The New York Times, The Financial Times, and the French newspaper Le Monde were affected. An error message was displayed instead of the content. Now, we've been warned of cyber interference, right? Mm-hmm. By Klaus Schwab, none other than the World Economic Forum.
Yes.
And this is all adding fuel to the circumstances that we are living in.
Yes.
So the World Economic Forum simulates global cyber attack on a company's supply chain. Now, Martin, I find it interesting that the supply chains, whether they are oil pipelines or food supply chains,
mm-hmm.
are becoming a problem.
Correct.
And here you can see Klaus Schwab and Biden having a very close unmasked chat. I wonder whether they're not concerned about their own rules or what the situation is, but this is what they are doing.
Yeah, well, if you go and look at some of the photos of the G7 in front of the cameras, it was all elbow and mask. And then a few minutes later, they were sitting hugging each other and having a good meal together without any masks.
Correct. So, you know, some of these laws are so fascinating to me. You can sit in a restaurant and you can have 50% capacity. That's now the rule in our country, for example. And you don't have to wear a mask. But you can't sit 50% capacity in a church and sing.
No.
Now, we've spoken about Klaus Schwab many times, and I thought it would be interesting to show that he belongs to some little boys' clubs, which we have discussed in a previous one. It seems that the people who are the spokespersons for this new normal all belong to these clubs, these knights.
Mm.
Schwab's forecast arrives. Cyber attack paralyzes POS systems of food chain. 800 supermarkets remain dense. Now, Martin, we looked at that prediction,
yes,
right there in the beginning, mm-hmm. right? And as we get to the second quarter, according to that prediction of this year, there will be problems with the food chain. and there will be cyber attacks, and there will be chaos, and there will be riots. Now, Martin, it seems to be playing out that way.
Yes.
Is this now pure chance, or is this a planned strategy?
Well, it's interesting when you start, we've mentioned this before, when you're driving behind a truck and you're right up to the back, you can't see past this truck. But when you fall back a little bit, then you start seeing what's going on. So when you look at one country, it seems that it can be coincidence.
Correct.
But then when you start going a little bit wider and you see this playing out everywhere,
and you see all the countries preparing their legislation for the same scenario, then it becomes interesting, right? So here's the Deutsche Wirtschaftsnachrichten again, the 9th of the 7th month, 2021. Massive cyber attack triggers unprecedented chaos in Iran. So you've had cyber attacks in Europe. Mm-hmm. You've had cyber attacks in the United States. You had cyber attacks in Iran. And countries threatening each other with cyber attacks and retaliations, and this could become a free-for-all.
And interesting that just before all of this, they were running simulations of it.
And they were practicing. Mm-hmm. And then they all happen at once. Now, how long has all this internet activity been around? How many years?
30 years, probably.
And the excitement only starts all in this COVID period? Is ZDNet from the 12th of July. Cyber criminals troll Iran's leader, cause railway network chaos. So the network dissolved into what state media called unprecedented chaos due to an alleged cyber attack. So it's happening all over the world.
Yeah, and this was, like we just saw, food chains.
Correct.
Trains. So there's no transport of any goods.
Correct. So. The first cyber disaster case in Germany, attack from a previously unknown source. And this was on Bitterfeld, which is a city in an area. And this, of course, created chaos. Hmm. British top scientist warns of cyber attack on food supply. Is Europe food security threatened? Martin, this is something that's happening internationally, right?
Correct. I didn't put one of the articles in, but I think in Sweden, if I'm not correct, they also had a cyber attack on some of these.
So all of a sudden this is happening worldwide. And the buzzword behind the scenes is food security.
Yes.
Food security. Food security. Mm-hmm. Now, I understand that there are thousands of trucks and storage areas that are disrupted in many countries, particularly also in the United States. And it's interesting that there are warnings of rising food prices and inflation because of supply. Apparently, truckloads of food are just rotting, or farmers have to destroy their crops because they cannot be delivered to the points. Now, if we could add anarchy into the mix, then it could become an interesting scenario, right?
Correct.
Now, Martin, when this all happened, or started to happen a year ago, we said this is not a glitch on the horizon.
Yes, we did.
This is the beginning of the end time events.
Exactly.
And they will escalate to the point when the very final things will happen, and that is the implementation of the mark of the beast.
Yes. And everybody said to us, we're...
we're insane.
Insane.
Now, if we look at the world today, have we been far wrong on what we have said? I don't think so. So, Martin, let's see if we add anarchy into the mix. Here's an article from the 14th of July from Fox News. Heather MacDonald. We are seeing slow motion riots right now in the US. Anarchy is coming to our cities. Haven't we warned about this from the beginning?
Right in the beginning, if you go back to our first episodes, we've been
We've been saying that. Get out of the cities. Get out of the cities. President Biden announced that he is offering $350 billion from the American Rescue Plan to police departments in New York City and elsewhere in an effort to put more police officers on the beat. But they wanted to defund the police.
Yep.
Now, why would you do that? Creating a crisis in the police force is a perfect recipe for anarchy.
Correct.
Is this a plan or is this an administrative error?
Well, once again, if it was just there or just one state, then yeah, maybe. But this is not only in America.
It's everywhere.
It's everywhere.
Now, I don't want to get involved in politics at all. As we have stated time and again, we are observers.
Yes.
We are looking at what is happening and correlating it with the prophetic framework. And if it matches up, then there is a high probability that that which prophecy has proclaimed is actually being fulfilled before our very eyes.
That's it.
And this is what people need to understand. Yes. And if this is the case, Martin, then we are not dealing just with one issue or another issue or with a pandemic or with a this or a that. We are dealing with a prophetic unfolding of the final events on this earth.
I agree 100%. That is how you should look at this.
And if that is so, Martin, the decisions that will have to be made, are they merely medical or are they moral? Mm. Are there moral issues involved? All right. Another question, Martin. We have always maintained that a beautiful glass of orange juice or apple juice mixed with a drop of cyanide is not a very healthy drink.
No.
Would you agree?
Definitely.
So if you are being asked to swallow a cocktail of moral thinking in which there is a drop of strychnine or whatever toxin you can think of, would you drink it?
No.
Now, my question, that which is being offered, does it come with a moral package as well?
Yes.
Is that moral package in harmony with the Word of God?
No.
Do you want to swallow it?
No.
I see.
Because nowhere in the Bible there's coercion in the cocktail that God wants to give you.
Correct. So he wants to fill budget holes created by the defund the police movement. This is a war on cops, said the offer may be too little too late. So first you dismantle something and then you want to fund it. Doesn't make much sense. Here's an interesting interview on Fox News with a lady who wrote a book called The War on Cops, Heather MacDonald. So let's just listen to this interview.
Now, Heather, on the Laura Ingraham podcast today, you said that you believe we're already seeing, I think you said, slow motion riots going on across the country. Explain that, please.
Well, you have massive looting going on. You have organized gangs that are running into stores, grabbing all the merchandise they can get, escaping in getaway cars. You have the assaults on Asians, the assaults on elderly, the assaults on Jews, mostly from people from the inner city. None of this is being acknowledged by the Democratic Party. And so you have now really a breakdown of law and order. The press can't cover it. They're not covering it. But on a daily basis, the degree of assaults that I believe are really hate crimes, but you're not allowed to talk about it when they're a certain race of offender, is going on that is a slow motion riot. You have anarchy is coming into our cities now. Thanks to the rhetoric of the Democrats, thanks to the constant impugning of the police by candidate Biden and by President Biden that is causing them to back off, and criminals and lowlifes now feel emboldened.
Okay, Martin, So basically what we're seeing in the United States is a rise in anarchy. And they're very careful not to try and play the race card. Now, it's interesting that the race card seems to be part of the package. And if you do that, then you are adding another moral dimension.
Correct.
Right? Now, we've always maintained that God has created humanity by one blood.
Mm-hmm.
And that it is not a race issue, but a biblical moral issue.
Correct.
And it cuts across all nations. Because if you take, for example, some of the riots that we've seen in the past, especially associated with the sporting world, the riots in the football world, for example, in Europe,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Or the riots in the hockey world mm-hmm. in Canada.
Yes.
That was a white, largely white population that virtually trashed Vancouver at one stage.
Yes.
And the race card is just a very convenient card to add another dimension of conflict into the fray.
Correct. It gets emotion involved.
Yes. And it's a distraction.
That's exactly because
you can get so riled up in racial issues that you totally miss the point.
Exactly. All these things that they put in is drawing you in and not seeing the bigger picture.
Correct. Now, in our country, in South Africa, mm-hmm. on both sides of the color divide, there are people that are so blind to the issues that all they see is color and race.
Yes.
And all the problems that there are in the world are somehow associated with color and race. Nation against nation.
Ethnos.
Ethnos against ethnos. It'll be one of the signs of the last days. But God's people must rise above it.
Yes.
They must look through it and see that it is a war on the word of God and the authority of God.
One thing that people are misunderstanding us is that we don't acknowledge that there are people that are being
suppressed. Absolutely. Suppression of whoever has always been part of society.
So we're not saying that it isn't happening and it's not wrong.
Of course it's wrong. Of course it's wrong. If you take the Middle Ages.
Yeah.
One nation, let's take Germany. Was there suppression of those that had a Protestant view as to opposed to those that had a Catholic view?
Definitely.
All right. So was it a race issue or was it a religious issue?
It was a religious issue.
Okay.
And
now let's take Africa, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Colonization. It's a major issue because people feel, with what right does one nation come in and say, okay, we are the rulers,
right?
Right? That is a very painful thing. Now, if you look at it from a religious point of view, the picture becomes slightly different.
Correct.
Because colonization brought good things, but it brought bad things
yes.
as well. You can concentrate on the bad or you can concentrate on the good, but either way, there were bad things involved with colonization of Africa.
Yes.
Was the gospel brought in via that route as well?
Yes.
Correct. So when the British Empire expanded across the world, were all those British citizens that were, you know, spread all over the world, were they all God-fearing people?
No.
Absolutely not. If you take Australia, it was a penal colony.
Correct.
So obviously they were not all God-fearing people, right?
No.
Were there God-fearing people amongst those?
Yes, definitely.
Were there God-fearing people amongst them that really cared for the downtrodden?
Yes.
Were there people in religious systems that exploited the downtrodden?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
So you have such a mix.
Yeah.
that you can now, you can blame the church. Let's take Canada, for example. Mm-hmm. You can say the church is at fault. And you can pinpoint and name the churches. And you will find sinners in every single church denomination in the world. There is no denomination that isn't free of scandal.
Correct.
Does that negate the gospel?
No.
No. Just because there are sinners in organizations that proclaim to stand for the gospel, it doesn't make the gospel obsolete, right?
No. Correct.
So what we have to do is we have to put on a pair of glasses that filters whatever we see through the Word of God.
Correct.
And the Word of God says that those who do the will of God are my brothers, my sisters, and my mother, and my father. That's what Jesus said.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what makes the final family on this earth. So we have to look across these things. So we have here a mix in the United States of anarchy, looting, cyber attacks, food shortages, all of those things. And we saw that the other countries are warning that these things are going to be part of the reality.
Correct.
And what did that document say? When would it take place?
Second quarter, in the middle of the second quarter.
In the middle of the second quarter. Are we now in the middle of the second quarter?
Yes.
We're going there, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're going there. So now let's go to our own country where we are experiencing turmoil. And we've had many viewers asking us how we're faring and what the situation is. There are places in our country which are literally burning. It is a nightmare in many, many areas. The situation probably is extremely grave. But by the grace of God, we are not in those areas. We are not in the city. We are more or less in the country. And we are still doing fine under the circumstances. But what is happening in our country is a model for what is going to happen in the entire world.
Mm-hmm.
So let's have a look at this compilation of events in our own country at the moment.
In the past days, looting has spread from stores to factories and warehouses, ransacking and rioting in South Africa's worst violence since apartheid. From the eastern provinces of KwaZulu-Natal to Johannesburg's economic hub.
All of the doors are open. People are walking in.
Highways on fire, skies full of smoke. The police hopelessly outnumbered. And months of pandemic restrictions, and now the prospect of food shortages and hunger. The government calls the riots nothing more than chaos caused by criminals. But now it's under fire for not mobilizing nearly as many security forces to tackle this crisis as it did to enforce pandemic lockdowns just a few weeks ago. Sasha Petrosik, CBC News, Toronto.
Bring you in here. We are watching visuals that you are giving us from the chopper. This is a bird's eye view of what's happening over Durban.
Looting that is taking place below us now. You will see from these visuals that this has been going on. It's still very well underway and it's been going on for hours on end now. A little while ago, you would have also been watching the visuals of the traffic buildup that was on that main road leading to this warehouse. Now this route also joins the N2. Traffic is backed up all this way. Presumably people that are coming here to also get exactly what they can get out of this warehouse. All of the doors are open. People are walking in. But the most interesting part of all of this that's playing out now is a short while ago, we saw a convoy of Metro Police vehicles that were exiting this area. One has to understand that they were severely outnumbered. There's absolute lawlessness here, Clement, as you've been seeing. Look at the extent of the numbers. Look at the people that are here. Look at the cars. And I think that's an important point that I want to touch on. People are driving here. It's not just the communities that are immediately next to these warehouses. People are making a concerted effort to get here. They don't mind that there are police here. They are openly taking items and walking past them. They know that there is very little by way of chances of arrest right now. And at this point, this is only just one of the warehouses that are being targeted. There is a strategic move. It's warehouse after warehouse in this area is being hit. We've seen this over the past few days. If they are not looted, they are also being set on fire. Some of the visuals would have also captured the smoke that is in the horizon now. That's coming from the numerous buildings that have been set alight. We've seen buildings like KFC and Sears that have caught alight. There were parts of the buildings in that macro precinct that were set alight. Even solar panels are not safe. People are climbing onto roofs to steal solar panels. But this really tells you what you're seeing now. This tells you about the frenzy that is going on the ground right now, the efforts that people are making to break the law.
Let's move to the story. You know, we're seeing all this destruction, we're seeing the looting, and we know that it was sparked by Free Zuma protests, but there is a lot of talk about whether it's well organized, what is sparking it, why it's got so out of control.
People are mentioning names of the people that are running amok on this so-called social media war. They mention one or two names. There are almost 12 names, between 10 and 12 names that the security cluster is looking at them.
Martin, is this well organized?
I think so, definitely.
Do you think it is an issue of the previous president being jailed?
No,
or is this very well orchestrated?
I think that's a smokescreen.
It's a smokescreen, right? Mm. This is anarchy. But it is interesting that from the information that we have, there's general looting, but food outlets in particular and trucks that transport food are targeted and torched.
It's also important, not just shops, the depots where everything is stored is being looted.
Correct. So they are already talking, and the president himself warned that there will be supply shortages and food shortages.
Medical supplies as well.
And medical supplies. Now, Martin, the other day I decided I wanted to go and, you know, just have a few things on hand from a pharmacy so that if you have an emergency that you can take care of some of the minor little issues that might arise. And I was stunned that there was nothing available. Mm. The very basic things were not available. So we can expect some very interesting times ahead. Now, if there is no food supply in a great city like that, if the stores are empty, as you have here, and the law-abiding citizens that did not partake in this and that haven't stocked their houses with food run out of food, where are they going to get food, Martin?
I really don't know.
So is it possible that if this kind of activity, as we have seen, is being planned in the United States,
yes,
it is being executed in our country, it is being warned about in all the other countries, and the food supplies are particularly targeted, that there could be famine in the future?
Yes.
Does the Bible warn about that?
Yes.
Does it warn about a health crisis, as we discussed?
Correct.
Does this fit the prophetic scenario?
Definitely.
Okay. Is this just a glitch on the horizon, or is it an escalation?
I think we can categorically say again, it's not going back to where it was.
The spirit of prophecy says trouble that will not stop. It will increase and increase unto the final events.
Correct.
Now, Martin, what's next on the agenda? Isn't it the climate agenda?
Yes.
Is Sunday legislation part of that climate agenda?
Definitely.
It has to come last, right?
Because
the devil won't play his last card before he's played the previous card, right? Buying and selling. Is it going to be an issue?
Definitely.
You won't be able to buy because there's nothing to buy.
Yes.
Have we ever thought of it like that in the past?
No.
We mentioned
because
it.
Everybody is so hung up with if you've taken the mark of the beast, you won't be able to buy or sell. There's something that's a precursor to that time.
Correct. And people get excited and say, this is not the mark of the beast. Of course it's not the mark of the beast, but it's the preparation for the implementation of the mark of the beast.
Is it probable that when there's so much food shortages and all of this, that government will take control of your food?
Absolutely.
And then, when all these legislations comes in for climate change and eventually the Sunday one, and you don't adhere, the government will say to you,
you can't buy.
You can't buy or sell. And then, that will be the final, if you take the mark of the beast, if you do not take God's Sabbath.
Correct.
That you won't be able to buy and sell. But there will be, before that already, problems with buying and selling.
And little choices. Mm-hmm. Little choices along the way. You will have to swallow this choice.
Mm-hmm.
But please, when you swallow this choice, added to it is another little moral issue. Please swallow that as well. And the list goes on and on and on until it comes to the final.
And it will be linked to your neighbor the whole time. You are endangering your
neighbor. So if I don't keep Sunday in the final analysis, I'm also endangering the common good.
It's going to be 100% the same.
It's going to be the same. So let us turn to the spirit of prophecy. It says here in the book Education, page 228, at the same time, anarchy is seeking to sweep away all law, not only divine, but human. The centralizing of wealth and power, the vast combinations for the enriching of the few at the expense of the many. Martin, have we seen that in the world?
Definitely.
How much money are the vaccine people making?
They're talking about 26 billion profit, I think Pfizer alone.
Pfizer alone, 26 billion profit. Thousands of people dead. All of these legislations, chaos in the world. The combinations of the poorer classes for the defense of their interests and claims. The spirit of unrest, of riot and bloodshed. The worldwide dissemination of the same teachings that led to the French Revolution. All are tending to involve the whole world in a struggle similar to that which convulsed France. Are we there?
Yes. And it's not only one country.
It's the whole world.
Yes.
And that's exactly what it says here. The whole world. Mm. Is the Islamic world involved?
Yes.
Is the Hindu world involved? No. Is the Christian world involved? Mm. And what about economic security? Again and again, the Lord has instructed that our people are to take their families away from the cities into the country, where they can raise their provisions, for in the future the problem of buying and selling will be a very serious one. You won't be able to buy. There will be nothing to buy except that which is strictly government regulated. We should now begin to heed the instruction given us over and over again. Get out of the cities into rural districts, where the houses are not crowded closely together and where you will be free from the interference of enemies. So, Martin, we need to raise our own provisions. We need to take care of issues that the establishment won't be able to do for you or will not be willing to do for you. Now, Martin, do we have a health message?
Yes.
We do?
Mm-hmm.
And does this health message have something to do with your immune capacity?
Yep.
Is it a fact that if you adhere to the health message, that your immune system will be considerably strengthened as compared to those who don't agree with it?
Yes.
Have we had quite some time to practice it and implement it in our lives?
Mm-hmm.
Will some perhaps be forced to do this in the final moments because there is no other help available?
It seems like it will be like that.
It's fascinating to me, Martin, that in these riots, they even attacked the blood banks and destroyed the blood.
Yes.
Now, Martin, why would you attack in a riot a blood bank and destroy that help which could be essential for someone's life?
It's especially surprising when you listen to the reasons these people give why they're rioting. And that is, they're hungry.
They're hungry. But they're all arriving in trucks and cars.
Yeah.
They can't eat trucks and cars, right?
No. And destroying a blood bank, what does that have to do with you being hungry?
Exactly. So, Martin, this is part of the end time developments. I am more convinced than ever that this world is in the final conflict. And very, very soon, very, very soon, everybody will be confronted with the ultimate moral choice. If we don't learn to make moral choices as we go along, how will we, in the final analysis, make the right choice? If we do not adhere to the health principles, to have a clear mind, how shall we distinguish whether there is a drop of arsenic in the drink that is being supplied or not? Because the virtues of the cocktail which is presented to us will be so proclaimed that the drop of arsenic will seem as a minor glitch. And with everything that we are seeing, we are confronted with this issue of that drop of arsenic. May God give us wisdom to make choices that are based on the moral ethic of that word and not of what the world has to dish up. Let's pray.
Let's pray.
Heavenly Father, we are seeing the culmination of those events which lead to the very final choices that humanity will be confronted with. If we do not obey in every single parameter of your word, we will be swept away by the torrent. Give us wisdom in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.